It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard throughout the tri-state area. Listen on the radio at kntrtalk.com and the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, I mean, could you imagine a twin? Paul Lavoy.
You can knock me down, watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on me. I was born free.
All right, sure was. Welcome to the show, everybody. It's Monday, August 1st, 2022, so it's like that. We're going to start like that, Sonny.
You got it.
No Jim Russell today. You gave Jim, I guess we just kind of gave him the day off. He's getting super busy, by the way, with this World Finals, jet ski racing, and all the events.
That's a handful. He's got his hands full, right.
He's a handful.
Yeah.
He asks, I always tell him, you don't ask the longest questions in the business for nothing, you know? He really does. Man, is there a question in there, Jim? Anyway, I'm not going to pick on Jim today. Love you, Jim Russell, if you're listening. Love you, mean it. All right, it's Monday, August 1st, 2022, and special edition of Speak Out on Election Eve, primary election Eve, and
or we can call Mayhem Monday.
Being the state senator that you are and Senate Majority Whip, Sonny Borelli, kind of owed you some time, I guess, even though you're running unopposed.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it's good to get the other, you know, candidates up there, get them out first, and, you know, they need to get their voices out there. And, of course, I've been extremely busy. Think people like, okay, we might be in the legislature part-time in session, but, man, if you treat this like a part-time job, you're not doing your job. So, you know, I'm back and forth to Phoenix 2-3 times a month. Leo, the same thing. A lot of times we're just passing each other on the freeway, and, you know, so we're, you know, constantly busy. As a matter of fact, I was in Phoenix this weekend and getting, you know, for some things, and all last week. So
this is fascinating. We're going to start with this topic. I'm going to forego the housekeeping at the moment, but only because you told me Laura Logan was at this event, and she's just a phenomenal reporter slash journalist slash. She does that the Fox special, the channel that they have. I can't remember the name of it. Kilmeade's all over it. So is Laura Logan.
When I spoke to her, she said she's not even compensated for that. So she goes on basically like pro bono or whatever.
Right.
And, you know, so there's some dedication right there. But man, she's on fire. You know.
Right. But you have this connection with her as well.
Right.
You didn't know who she was married to until you met him.
Right. A buddy of mine, one of my Marines that I served with in the Marine Corps, he worked for me when I was at 9th Comm Battalion. Him and her, Adam Pollard, and her husband, Joe, went to high school together.
Wow.
And, so, you know, kind of the rodeo connection. And then I found out Joe was married to her. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. Nah, you're fibbing.
They live in Texas now, right?
Right. Yeah.
That's what I understand.
Yeah.
So tell me about this election integrity symposium that she was at. You were there.
Right.
How many other people were there? Who were the players?
Well, the room was packed. I mean, it was at the Pollock Theater in Tempe. On the panel was three people that are running for Secretary of State in other the states. For, as a matter of fact, Jim Marchant from Nevada is running for Secretary of State. Audrey Trujillo from New Mexico. Mark Fitchum was on the panel. And, of course, former senator and current House member Judy Burgess, Steve Montenegro, former House member and senator, who's running for the House now, and another legislator from Senator from Colorado. So, you know, we had, and the whole thing is about getting input. And, of course, one first, Jeff Zink, who's running for Congress against Ruben Gallego, who's a, you know, Ruben is a blatant communist sympathizer. The whole thing is about, you know, more fact-finding. What have we learned from lessons learned from the audit last year? And, you know, what do we need to do legislatively going forward? And then, of course, more new revelations that came out that the county said that it was, Maricopa County said this is the most secure election, yada, yada, yada.
Nothing to see here.
There's nothing to see here. Mm-hmm. And the media is their propaganda cover stories. And, you know, it's all propaganda. And, of course, you know, there's that court case, Hobbs versus Kerry Lake and Fitchum, on the federal case to put an injunction on utilizing these electronic tabulating systems because they can be compromised. And
the Dominion specifically.
Well, it's ES&S.
Is it all of them?
If they have the Smartmatic software in it, they all can be compromised. I mean, hackers can get in there within minutes from their phone. There's testimony on that from cyber experts that testified in that court case. But also, the county kind of went out and they kind of made some false official statements in court.
So let me stop you there. You told me off the air that they perjured themselves.
Right.
These county supervisors.
Yep. I don't know if it's perjury, but they made false statements to the court because they had said that
That would be under oath.
That's under oath. And the county elections department said that the only people that had access to the server themselves were badged employees, and there's very limited people that's badged, and they only, you know, they can't go in the server room, and if they do go in the server room, there has to be two people.
Okay.
Well, here it is, clear video evidence of one of the non-badged employees who has cyber forensic experience, because that's on his resume,
right.
Was allowed into that server room by himself. One of the county employees that is badged him in, opened the door, let him go in there by himself. So that right there is another, made a false statement to the court. And, the whole laundry list of things that are going on. Somebody is duplicating voter registration. For example, you have Michael Thomas. You have a Michael Thomas, or let's say a Miguel Torres. Okay? Michael Torres is registered to vote. He's the only one that lives at that address. He's registered to vote. No big deal, right? He's on the ballot system. He never requested an early ballot. But then all of a sudden, he gets a ballot in the mail addressed to Miguel. So all you got to do is
change. His name's Michael.
His name is Michael, right?
Oh, okay.
So, but he said, I never go by Miguel. I've always gone by Michael. But here I get a ballot in the mail from, addressed to Miguel.
Right.
Same middle name, same last name. And this is something wrong here. Well, you know, this is current. So, you know, he did call the county on that. Well, we'll fix it, whatever. But you know, I tell everybody, if you get an extra ballot in the mail, hang on to it. Don't destroy it. If you go down to the polls and they say, hey, sorry, you already voted, and you haven't voted, you better call the sheriff and let them know about it, because guess what? That's identity theft.
Right.
So we need to start. The county sheriffs has all started to step up and say they're going to follow through and take care of things. Now, I'm confident in our county, okay? Maricopa County, their sheriff is, you know, Democrat, elected funded by Soros and all that kind of stuff, and he didn't lift a finger to help out anything.
Paul Pinzone.
So, you know, Maricopa County's got their issues, but we did find some stuff that we need to look out for. But the bottom line is, they perjured themselves. They did not, you know, they have always said this was the most secure elections. Even Stephen Richard, the county recorder, so, you know, when he was running for office against Adrian Fontes, he was trashing the heck out of Adrian Fontes the whole time during the election.
Accused him of all this malfeasance.
Right.
And then after the election.
Right, because of the 2018 election.
Fontes supposedly ran the cleanest election ever.
Oh, yeah. So now all of a sudden he comes back, oh, Fontes is great, this and that, yada, yada, yada. But bottom line is you still saw the same problems. Nothing's getting fixed. And those guys need to go, and hopefully the citizens of Maricopa County can help clean out that swamp, because, you know, it's not a lot of times it's not the elected officials that's doing this stuff. It's the state employees or the city employees or county employees. That's, you know, I call it government resistance and bureaucratic resistance. So
because they're always there, even
always
after
there.
The election,
you know, people
elected
say, well,
officials are termed out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the downside of term limits, you know, because they have the we be attitude. We be here after you're gone, and all I got to do is slow walk everything and obstruct. No, I'm sorry.
That's a great observation, by the way.
I missed your form, and I'm sorry, yeah. I got COVID, so I'm off 2 weeks, and, you know, these kind of things.
You just told a well-known candidate that we were talking about that, and it's such a great observation, and I'd never really thought of it before, and that's the swamp there.
Yeah.
But I want to tell this story because in Mojave County, 2 years ago, mm-hmm. I got a mail-in ballot, mm-hmm. and I'm like, what is this?
You know,
I vote on election day.
I
make that very well known, even on the air. So when I went and voted, I had to take that mail-in ballot, and I dropped it and all that and did what I was supposed to do with it. But
what we're
Mojave
finding,
County has a form you can opt out. I don't know if you know
that. You should have to opt in.
Exactly.
You have to opt in.
But that's not the case.
Well, the thing is that there's a lot of stuff that's coming out by a third party, and then the return envelope is going to the county. So these are there's a kind of scammy things. It's coming out of here's the thing. It comes out of Phoenix. If you want to be on the mailing ballot list, send in this form. We'll put you on an early mail-in ballot thing.
Right.
And then you send it. It goes directly to your county. So the county gets it, but somebody else is sending these things out. So we're finding there's third party people injecting this something in the system there that we need to clean up.
So when did that all change, and on which governor's watch? Because it used to be, at least in Nevada anyway, to get a mail-in ballot, you had to call the elections department and vote absentee.
Request.
You would vote absentee.
Yeah, you had to request it.
There was no mail-in ballots unless you were an absentee voter.
They called it absentee ballots, but then they changed the law. They called it PEVL, permanent early voting, years ago, and now it's changed to annual. But, you know, even that law that was got changed by, and we kept telling them, the sponsor of that bill, you sounds like you're doing something good, but it's just, I'm sorry, this is just icing. It doesn't get into the cake because you have to, if you don't vote, early vote, if you don't vote in the next two election cycles, which means 4 years, we're going to send you out a letter that says, do you still want to be on the PEVL or annual voting list? And if you don't respond in 60 days or 30 days, we'll send you another one 30 days later. So you got 60 days to respond and say, I still want to be on it.
Right.
But, and if you don't, then you're taking off your early voting list. Hang on, you're taking
when
off the
When was that passed?
That was passed last year. So it's in effect now. But what it says is, if you haven't, we'll take you off the mailing to get the vote by mail, but you can still vote in person.
Oh.
But the problem is you have all these third-party nonprofits out there injecting things in the system. Now, and they always say, well, but there's nothing wrong with our voter registration process. Well, wait a minute. Come right after the November 2020 election, somebody hacked the voter registration servers in Maricopa County. And Stephen Richer, the new recorder, says we've identified this. They didn't get into the voting system. They only accessed the voter registration, which is technically public record. Well, that's how you end up manipulating the system. All you have to do is change one letter here or there, and a Michael becomes a Miguel or whatever, and Ann becomes Annie. I mean, these kind of things. So, you know, these are the things that we really need to take a serious look at. Now, we had a bill legislation this year. That would have actually, instead of the legislature having an audit going forward, we would have put this responsibility for elections for auditing into the auditor general's their ballywick, if you will, and then create that and help them and fund it and this kind of thing, so that way they can be able to check the voter registration, because it's a lot of that's all numbers and everything else, all that data. So they have the expertise for that. Well, unfortunately, Michelle Yagenti voted no on that and killed that bill. And, you know, so now we have to rerun all these things going forward. So all the election integrity bills that didn't pass this year are going to be rerun first thing out the box, you know, first priority next session, as soon as session starts. And hopefully, knock on wood, we have a better majority, so that way we're not held hostage by a majority of one. That one Judas can screw things up for everybody. And, that's a problem that we've had the last 2 years.
Oh, yeah. It's so thin. Yeah. The majority is just so thin.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What does it mean with a new governor, though? I mean, either way, Democrat or Republican, isn't there a new agenda coming that the leadership is going to want to push
the
legislature?
Well, naturally, governors have their own agenda. They have their agenda items, and that's fine. But the legislature's got our agenda, too, because it's the people's agenda. And you know what? They want secure, free, and fair elections. I don't care what party you're with.
Right.
Free and fair elections, pure and simple. If I lose fair and square, no big deal. Okay, I'll go home, go fishing. I mean, but that's the way it should be. But that's the way a representative form of government is supposed to be. So free and fair elections, we have to make sure that they're intact. And if we got to go back to, I'm sorry, I don't like this early mail-in ballot ballot thing, I don't think I you know, unless you're in the military, you need an absentee ballot, which even that's even been corrupted, which they call UOCAVA, because in the 2018 election, they had 1,600 people voted UOCAVA ballots. Okay, but then all of a sudden in 2020, we had 9,600.
What?
Wait a minute. Nobody was deployed over there. Okay, now that's fine for, but see, right. You know, these problems here. And by the way, you vote by email. So how is that private and secure, private ballot when they know you have to email your ballot in, you email it, and then they transpose it onto a real ballot, and then they actually do the official ballot. So there's no voting in private on that. So even that's a mess. So, if you want to get an early absentee ballot, you have to request it. You have to be like military, maybe a police officer, a traveling nurse, something, a truck driver, something that we can help coordinate that with. If you are, in inbound, homebound, and you can't come in, then maybe we can send an election officer there with two people to watch, and you can vote, these kind of things. We can do that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of options to take care of helping people to vote. But there was legislation that was even proposed to get rid of all early, in-person early voting. Get rid of all in-person early voting. We just got done doing early voting for the last 2 weeks.
Right.
Right? You go in person, you go to the library, it takes you longer to park your car, it goes and vote. Okay? You go in there, you vote in person, here's my ID, here's my ballot, thank you very much, I fill it out, I stick it in the box, I'm out the door. Right? They wanted to eliminate the in-person early voting and go to one day. Okay? And they say, well, let's go one day, we'll have smaller precincts, in other words, precincts no bigger than 1,500 people.
Oh, I remember that. You're talking about one day of early voting.
One day of voting.
So one day of voting.
So election day would have been actually August 2nd. It was early voting, no mail-in ballots, none of that stuff, that kind of thing. Well, wait a minute. It's hot and blazes out here, and I don't want senior citizens standing in line to go vote now. And of course, but they said, no, but we'll have smaller precincts. Okay. Because right now, Mojave County has, what do we got here? We have... Mojave County has 24 voting precincts, right, and 36 voting locations throughout the entire county. So if we had to go do that, that would actually increase the number of precincts needed would be 110. Now, we barely have volunteers to work the locations we have right now. So and that technically restricts somebody's ability to vote. So in-person early voting, right, you show your ID. That's golden. You're there. It's convenient. You make it easy to vote. Now, here's where the breach in the system can be, because currently right now, and I didn't know this, but currently when the ballots get collected to the county level, they can verify they look at the ballot signature, verify it, this and that. They don't verify, can't figure out if they call you, this kind of things. But once your signature is verified, everything is Jake. They open it up, they separate the envelope from the ballot, and they get the ballot ready for tabulation. Well, unbeknownst to me, they can be tabulating all through this process. So which means early voting stopped Friday, in person. So which means they've had all weekend long.
Shouldn't those boxes already be in Kingman?
Well, yeah. Let me go through this.
Okay.
Because every county does things different. So, but think about it. If you know over the weekend what's winning, what's losing, who's winning, what's winning, who's winning, all you gotta do is leak that information out to certain people, and then they can inject bogus ballots in the system through those drop boxes in the middle, wherever.
Makes it easier to rig.
Exactly. So what we need to do is restrict that, and I say that, and I actually did a striker that says you can't count until the election day, tabulate to election day, but I think that's, because, I think 24 hours, like Monday, like today, start tallying. And by the way, let's sequester everybody that can't get out. Take their phones away, like that kind of thing. Because look, all it takes is that one person to leak out a number, and there's big money that, look at those ballot initiatives. There's big money that want that information. Hey, Intel is key. So we have to make it, we have to secure that make sure that we have to blind the bad evildoers access to any kind of information. So these are the things, fine-tuning, that we can do to tighten things up.
I got you.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, it's always Motown when you're on.
Yeah.
Nothing but Motown.
Love it.
I'm going to try.
Motown Monday.
No, I'm going to try to get it right today.
Okay.
And not play any commies from San Francisco. Sonny Borelli, our guest, state senator, of course, from Mojave County, based in Lake Havasu City.
All right. Land of the free.
Yes.
Born of Earth.
And he's the Senate Majority Whip. Well, he is right now.
Yeah.
Probably will be next.
Hopefully.
Next session.
We'll see.
You have to keep the majority, though, folks.
Right.
You have to vote red.
We have to get a better majority in the House and the Senate. In the State House and the State Senate. Yeah.
We've got a call coming in already. We'll take that when we go to break. I'm Paul Lavoie. Speak Out will continue. Stay with us. I love that movie, The Blues Brothers, when she goes, and you can't have your dried white toast and your full fried chickens. Get out of here. You ain't taking Matt Guitar Murphy with you anyway. All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage, also Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, Horizon Community Bank, GDK LLC, Springberg Wealth Management, and by Patio Paradise. Don't forget, we stream live in our archives or at KNTRTalk.com. You got Sunny Chair Dancing in here.
Yep.
It's quite a sight. And also, the Lake Havasu City app is home to our archives on the Google Play and Apple iStore is where you can get that app. And the creator of the app will be in here tomorrow, Alyssa. Alyssa Zawisa.
Nice.
Yeah, they just did a Havasu Cash Games. And part of the proceeds from that went to local charities, which is cool. We'll also have Vitalant on the show tomorrow in the second half. And speaking of local nonprofits, we had a pretty successful bowling tournament this past Saturday at Havasu Lanes. I don't know if you saw that, but
no.
It was an interesting format. You had regular scoring.
Was it Saturday?
It was on Saturday.
Because I was at that thing in Phoenix on Saturday.
You were with Laura Logan.
Yeah.
Man, killing me. So you had regular scoring on the first game. You had a strike. It's called 3-6-9. You have a strike in the third, sixth, and ninth frames for the second game. So you had three automatic strikes. The third game is called a no-tap, 8-pin no-tap. Now, I'm used to 9-pin. That's where you get 9 down on the first roll, and you get credited with a strike. But we had 8-pin no-tap. So with 8 pins down on the first, which I think I had 7 strikes,
yeah,
2 spares, and an open frame, I had a 221. That's a pretty dang good game, right?
Did you use the still use the bumpers?
You're killing me. No, not at all. So anyway, great time. Karen Taylor Robeson stopped by. And that was with Mayor Cal Sheehy, giving her kind of the tour around town, I guess. And then Matt Salmon was with her as well, which is kind of interesting. So anyway,
whatever.
We have baseball over on the sports station if you're interested. 4:10 this afternoon. D-backs took 3 on the chin from the Braves. The Braves are just red hot right now. And so they go to Cleveland today, and that's at 4:10 p.m. over on 980 a.m., 100.5 and 94.3 FM. So there you have it on that.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about the budget process, legislative update, that sort of thing, even though we're not in session.
Right.
As far, we're saying he died, right?
Right. Well, as a matter of fact, let's talk about the caller, because the caller had a budgetary.
Yes, thank you.
Budget type of question. In D.C. Congress, now this is what we always get blamed for, this stuff, all the crazy stuff that happens on it in D.C. There was a bill that was a veterans, it was a bill to support veterans. And here's the problem with Washington, D.C., compared to the state legislature. In the state legislature, we vote on one bill, it's one type of issue, it has to germane, okay, one bill. In Washington, D.C., Congress, they're voting on a deck of cards, okay? So it's a veteran issue, but then they slide a whole bunch of other pieces of legislation in this thing, so that way it looks at, why it's 2,500 flipping pages to read, okay? Because it's got all this junk in there, junk and pork and everything else. So he was saying, hey, why did the Republicans vote against this spending bill for veterans? Well, it's because they had all this garbage in there. They had discretionary funding was shifted over to a non-discretionary funding, which would have opened up the door for more non-discretionary funding, more pork, more spending, and none of that had anything to do with the veterans. Okay. So, you know, Andy Biggs, every session or every whatever, that he's been in Congress has introduced legislation that, no, we need to do standalone bills for standalone issues and this kind of things, and start bifurcating this stuff and making it easy, simple for the people to understand, because, you know, we're here to represent. So the people need to know what the heck we're voting on. And look, you know, the Congress, particularly the Democrats, are notorious for this. They'll do things in there so that way you're damned if you do, damned if you vote, if, you know, you're damned if you don't know how you vote on it. For example, years ago, I watched this. I was bored one night. I was sleepless. I couldn't go to sleep. I was bored, but, you know, I was wound up. So I turn on, you know what, I'm going to turn on C-SPAN. Maybe this will put me to sleep, right? Because, so I turn on C-SPAN and I see Duncan Hunter, former Congressman Duncan Hunter, former captain, railing on against Speaker Pelosi about a defense appropriation bill to fund the troops in Afghanistan and Iraq, okay? It was to continue funding the troops in Afghanistan and Iraq. And he's wailing against Pelosi because what had happened was the Senate had a bill to add transvestites to hate crimes speech or some goofy thing like that. Didn't pass in the Senate, so she took that piece of legislation and shoved it in there.
Uh-huh.
So here I'm watching Duncan Hunter screaming and yelling on the House floor. And then, of course, by that time, that's when Jeff Flake was actually, I'm like, wow, this guy impresses me. Of course, this is years ago, when he was actually teaming up going, yeah, this is ridiculous. In Arizona, they vote on, you know, single subject issue. It's hazard germane and this and that. And here it is. You're throwing things in there that don't belong. It doesn't germane. And you're holding the troops hostage for something. And so if you vote in favor of it, your constituents can blast you for voting for that thing because it had that piece of legislation in there. And if you vote no, then they can come back and blast you because you didn't support the troops.
Right.
So it's all political setup and political theater, and that garbage needs to stop in Washington, D.C.
So how do we get it to where they stop adding these writers?
Well, number one, we have to take the majority of the House of Representatives and the Senate in Washington, D.C., and they need to finally start fixing the rules so that way they can't do that.
But we've done that in the past.
Look.
I'm saying we've taken the House. We've taken the Senate.
Okay, and to that point,
the Democrats haven't had power for 40 years.
And everybody keeps talking about term limits, right? Okay, let's roll back here. Since the Tea Party Revolution, okay, back in the, you know, mid-20s, right, or 2000s,
right.
We've had an 85% turnover of Congress. Okay, so, and you're right. The people that have been there forever, well, that's what happens when the same, you got people like the Pelosi and the Schumers, they've been there for 1,000 years, well, once they keep getting the majority, then you don't get rid of that leadership. So, you've got to get the majority to get rid of certain leadership.
So, assuming Kevin McCarthy is going to be majority leader in the House, is that something we as Arizonans...
Speaker.
Yeah, the Speaker of the House, not the Senate Majority Leader.
Yeah.
Okay, assuming he's going to be House Speaker,
mm-hmm.
Okay, is that something the people of Arizona or people from Mojave County or people from Clark County, for that matter, could write to him and say, hey, we need to change the rules on the Rules Committee?
Well, that's why we have a representative former governor. We go through our congressman, and Congressman Gosar has been actually backing up Andy Biggs on this single subject type of deal.
That's what it's called, single subject legislation.
Hey, look, you know, that's why they're coming after Gosar, because Gosar was instrumental with the Freedom Caucus to get rid of Paul Ryan. So, you know, and Boehner and all those other guys. I mean, this is why, you know, you can't, the problem with term limits, I'm termed out. If you want to keep me in Senate, sorry, I'm termed out. Okay, thank you very much. But, you know, this is the things, that's the downside of term limits. You lose that, that momentum. You can lose that corporate memory and structure and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, or consistency. So you gain the majority, and you got to get rid of the bad leadership. Simple as that.
I got you.
Now, getting back to the state budget, you know, we had there was a person on this radio who was running for a higher office and said that we spent too much money and was really irresponsible, and you can't spend yourself out of a recession and yada yada. Well, those are all good talking points for Washington, D.C., because that's exactly what we do, because they print money, we don't.
Right.
But yeah, we had a surplus budget. We did. We had a surplus budget because the legislature helped structure good economic policies and taxes and everything else, so that way, we had an economy that
boomed. Does the state treasurer have anything to do with that, too? The
state treasurer invests funds. And
that would be Kimberly Yee.
Yeah, Kimberly Yee. They manage the state funds and stuff like that, but they can't, you know, they can't invest in Bitcoin or anything like that.
No, right.
They got
right.
Yeah, but no, all the policies that the legislature set forth with the governor, you know, we could say that, you know, that's one thing what Ducey did. We had a good booming economy, so we have a surplus of money. Okay, well, what do you do? What do you call extra money? Extra money is what, for us folks, extra money is what you have before your car breaks down, right? So if you have that
check engine light,
if you have, well, exactly, if you have extra money and you know your car's going to be breaking, yeah. The engine light's going beep 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 or flash flash,
right,
okay,
right.
Depending on what kind of car you got, but it's irresponsible to not do anything. So it is our responsibility to do what? We have roads and infrastructures that are falling apart. We got bridges that are falling apart.
We have water issues.
We have water issues. Mm-hmm. We have border. So we put over $1 billion in water in roads and infrastructure projects for the next, you know, 5 years, you know, because it's all 5-year plans, whatever. We put $1 billion in roads and infrastructure. We put over $500 million into the border security, building a wall, you know, DPS, you name it. There's a whole laundry list of stuff for that. It's over $500 million for that. We put over $1 billion in K-12 funding, and a lot of that, some of that is a good portion of that was the empowerment scholarship accounts because we want to fund the student, not the system, and parents, and puts more authority back into the hands of the parents because right. The parents' parental authority, they tell their kids where to go to school. We put money into, school safety, resource officers, interoperability, for that way the law enforcement has real-time intel in case there's an active shooter scenario. Well, let me tell you this. You know, the person, Michelle Eugenti was on your radio show saying how irresponsible, well, she voted against all that stuff. Well, guess what? That's one-time funding, okay? And we still had we left over a surplus of $500 million for rainy day fund because we didn't know our projected revenues were less than we thought. But we're all right now, and our rainy day fund has already grown to over $1 billion. So what we're leaving the next governor with is a fiscally sound state budget, projects on the way. Finish the wall. You can't. There's no more garbage. We don't have the money. It's there. So whoever becomes governor, we have to hold their feet to the fire and make sure that they follow through with this. So the bottom line is, and we cut taxes, 2.5% straight, flat tax rate across the board. Here's another nice little nugget. We got rid of the state portion of your property tax. That went to school equalization. We're taking that away from that. We're taking it away from your property tax. Mm-hmm. But the state is fully funding it through our general fund. So that's another tax savings to the taxpayer that the state doesn't need to be taking money from for your property tax. You already tax enough already, plus a flat tax and so on and so forth. So we have a good surplus coming in. Revenues are coming in. We're doing great, fiscally sound. We've spent money that needed to go. We're fixing the car, dang it. Fixing the car and changing the tires.
There you go. All right. Make sure you
now we just got to take care of the gas problem, but that's Washington, D.C.
Make sure you get rid of that really bad, crappy jack they put in the trunk, too, you know? Put a good scissor jack or a hydraulic jack in there.
That's manufacturer, yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie, along with State Senator Sonny Borelli. We'll be right back. Give us a call, 928-854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. Kind of what it's like listening to election commercials, right?
Yeah.
Not to lose your mind.
Or being in the legislature, knowing exactly how people really are and
right.
How things work. It's yeah.
I'll get you on that in a minute. Speak Out brought to you in part by Horizon Community Bank, also Mojave Community College, SunPower by Esme Electric, the Lewis team, Remax by the Lake with team leader Bobby Lewis and Julie Lewis, and our newest sponsor, Les Olson IT, your company's one source for office technology. And you can find them online at lesolson.com/Kingman. Les Olson, lesolson.com/Kingman. And, hey, thanks for the mini little flyer here. I don't know, what do you call these?
Flyer?
Handbills.
Okay.
It's a handbill. It's the primary watch party. We'll be there live on KNTR Talk. Starts at 8 p.m., but the party itself starts at 7 p.m. and runs until midnight?
Maybe, yeah, because we're waiting the poll results. And,
well, I noticed the Win-Win Casino, who's hosting, they're open till 10 p.m.
Yeah.
Normally. But this is 7 p.m. to midnight, and it's sponsored by State Senator Sonny Borelli and Arizona Representative Leo Biasucci.
And Paul Gosar.
And special guest.
And he's our special guest, but he's also hosting, too. Yeah.
Nice. Hey. I thought it was the Mojave County GOP, but it's you guys.
Well, Jeannie Kitch put that out. But Leo and Paul and myself, we're hosting it then, because it's where we can watch the results come in and bring an appetite, folks, because there's going to be plenty of Italian food.
I'm laughing because it says food, drink, fun, suspense.
Suspense.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny. What's that like on election night, watching the returns come in? When you're not running unopposed, when you have opposition in that, how do you get ready for that, Sonny?
It's, for example, my routine was, my ritual was, I would go to men's club breakfast tomorrow morning, then I would go to the lunch.
Is this a superstition or just a routine?
No, it's just a routine. My routine is late election day. I'm going to the men's club breakfast tomorrow, Republican men's club breakfast tomorrow morning. And then I would go to one of the Republican women's luncheons, Republican women lunches, okay?
Uh-huh.
And then I would go bowling. I would go bowling just to take my mind off of things, to do something, just play a couple frames and then go home, maybe go to a couple points, I say hello to people, thanks for voting today, and then just kind of try to chill and just try to, not stress out about it. But, it is, even if they say you're winning in the polls, it's not, you never know until, the spaghetti meets the sauce, if they will. So, but you're waiting for those results to come in, and they always say 8:30, and next thing you know, it's 9, nothing's there. And, of course, in 2020, they call the Arizona election with only 16% of the vote in, and we know that something was wrong there. So, that was a nightmare 2 years ago. But,
well, that's why we'll have Roger Galloway and Kingman. He'll be with Alan Tempert.
Okay.
And county recorder, that's not Cindy Cox anymore.
No, it's Christy Blair.
Christy Blair, thank you.
Right.
And, so we'll have some fill while we're waiting for those returns to come in, and then I'll have another computer to watch for those.
Yeah.
And technically, it's going to be quite a feat.
Yeah, it's good fun.
I'm using a phone line for a remote, then Roger's calling in on a phone line, so it's going to be...
it's called organized chaos. Right?
Yeah, that's it.
Semper Gumby, man.
Yeah,
always
that's
flexible,
it. Absolutely. Yeah. So we've had a number of candidates on the program.
Yeah.
We've had two Secretary of State candidates. Mm-hmm. There's a lot in the field. In fact, I saw a story this morning about Shauna Bolick is going to take her own pen to vote with.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny. But anyway, I wanted to ask you to tell us about some of those candidates. Like, you wanted to talk about one of them that was here in the studio, in that chair, State Senator Michelle Ugenti Rita.
Okay. Well, Shauna Bolick, I've known her for a couple of years. Her husband is on the Arizona Supreme Court, Clint Bolick, and, very honorable man. She's a capable legislator, when we were looking into the election right after November, right after the election day, things were going crazy in Maricopa County, and people were screaming and yelling. We want to hear some. We have concerns, and we have, So Mark Fitchum and I and Leo, we put together that thing on November 30th hearing, and a lot of the legislators didn't want to have anything to do with it. They thought it was going to be a circus and this and that, and of course, then there's a lot of the Johnny-come-latelys, and they were about election integrity. But I'm not going to, question the integrity of Shauna Bolick. I think she's a nice woman and very incapable. But Michelle Ugenti, I'm really offended that she came on our station here in my hometown, my district, and has been going through the district, really not telling all the truth. When she said that she's the only one that got any election integrity bills through last year, that's partially true because she was the chair of the Government Elections Committee, and she controlled the bills that went through, and then she killed everybody else's bills because she didn't want any competition. So, that's the kind of garbage that goes on with some folks. And then, of course, when she got booed off the stage at Turning Point, she immediately called the president of the Senate and resigned as the chair of the Government Committee last year. And then started going public and, throwing a tantrum and going public, calling the audit a fraud. And she didn't want anything to do with the audit. She went along with the Senate subpoenas and this and that and put it at the front, but didn't want to know anything about what was going on. Didn't want to hear anything, didn't even inquire. And that's fine. Everybody's busy. Look, this is baseball, and I understand this is baseball. You play first base, second. Some people play different positions, but you know, we all have to work together as a team. When it's time for you to be up to bat, you're going to get your scorecard on how you bat, and of course, on how you feel. But you know, you have to stick together as a team. But when you take yourself out of the team and then start criticizing the team, thinking that you're better than the team, you're not playing baseball. You're playing golf because you only care about your own golf, your own scorecard.
Right.
So she took herself out of the process this year, because she was not the chair of government committee. She also resigned from the appropriations committee. So when it came time for we're working the budget, she was MIA. And then all she was doing is criticizing and things that she had nothing to do with. And then was accusing us of working with the Democrats on the budget when she was already commiserating with the Democrat leadership trying to undermine the president of the Senate and leadership. So these are the things that, folks, you need to know what's going on. You know, so when it came time for the budget and we had to, like, roads and infrastructure and border security, all the things that we're supposed to be doing, she voted no on it because it spent too much money and yada, 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 and comes here to our district and basically lies to everybody because it's not the whole truth.
So a Senate Majority Whip, it's part of your job to herd those cats, find out where you've got those votes or what you need to get their vote, correct?
Right.
Was she one of those people that was... You know,
she didn't want to.
There was probably no way you were going to approach her.
And the things that we had to put some money into Democrat districts. But what did we do? We put money in roads and infrastructure. This is Arizona. I don't care if it's a Democrat district. If it's a state issue, it needs to be fixed. Mm-hmm. We have to fix it. We're obligated. So these are the things. So the D's went, okay, fine, we're cool. You know, there was, you know, they went with it because, you know, we needed to get done and we needed the money. And of course they wanted other things in the budget. And we said no. But you know, if you was going to sit there and grandstand, of course I had an amendment that would have given everybody $250 rebate. Well, isn't that what Biden's doing with, giving us COVID money and all this? That's garbage. And we need to cut tax, $1.5 billion out of tax. Where's it going to come from? The roads and infrastructure, the border security, school safety, where's it going to come from? But you can't blow up the budget at the last minute just to politically grandstand.
Tell me about the treasurer's rate.
By the way, she's got the worst attendance record in the entire Republican Senate.
I was going to ask you about that. Yeah, that was part of the count on her.
She's never showed up. She would say, you know, I'm not just bad-mouthing, but folks, you know what? I would normally stand shut up. I don't say anything because she has a pattern of this for the last 10 years I've had to work with her. But you know what? I'm very offended when you come to my district and you lie. You flat out lie. So, you know, it's these are tough things when you get on the radio and you're trying to talk and try to be the statesman and stuff like that. But sometimes you just got to call it is what it is. Okay. But you know what, folks? We did everything we possibly could to make sure it was a completely consistent 100% Republican budget. Well, corporates, we got some Democrats to vote for yes on the budget. Why? We put money in the roads and infrastructure that they need in their district, dang it. And I think that's our responsibility.
I was going to ask you about that. Are there any of the Democrats on the Senate floor or even the House that you can work with?
There's, you know, one of the big things that really consistently we can work, what they call it, bipartisan, that will stand with us, rural Arizona on, is water. And that's the one thing that really helped me out this year, because when Maricopa County, the East Valley builders, they wanted our water from the Harquahala.
Right.
They stood with me to kill that bill. That way, if it was going to go up, it wasn't going to pass. So that, and helping us protect our fourth priority, these kind of things. So there is our allies on that, because that's the thing that's beyond party lines. So, and we both agree on conservation and, you know, protecting our water. So the
treasurer's race just has me fascinated, because all of a sudden it's turned into a race, even though Kimberly Yee originally ran for governor.
Right.
And then she said, no, I'm going to run for reelection.
Right.
Although she's termed out after the next term if she wins.
She's got one more term. This would be, if she wins again, she's her last term. It's eight years.
So what do I do with that race do I just throw a dart at the ballot and hope it lands in the right place?
You know, Kimberly Yee, I mean, she did very well as a treasurer, you know, it was when she was going to run for governor, I stayed out of the governor's race because I know Kimberly and I knew Matt and
but
everything.
But she didn't poll real well, even though she's a known conservative,
but,
correct?
Yeah, she jumped back into to run for re-election after her. You know, I already endorsed Jeff Winnegar, and I think he's extremely capable, and I know he'll do a good job, and he's one of these kind of dedicated guys, always got to be there on the, you know, there, and, you know, it's just, but, you know.
Well, and he showed up in Mojave County at the Republican picnic.
Yeah.
She did not.
No.
I think that says a lot.
Well, you know, it's about, look, these statewide races, you got to be everywhere at once. And it's, if you ain't got an airplane, man, it's brutal. I mean, come on.
Can I use the governor's?
Yeah, exactly. You know, but, you know, I mean, come on. Just for me and Leo, right. It's a 3-hour drive to Phoenix, you know. I mean, it's 220 miles. Even if you do it 100 miles an hour, it still takes you 3 hours. You do the speed limit's 3 hours, 75 miles an hour.
Was that a Mosley joke?
You do 100 miles an hour, it still takes you 3 hours because DPS pulls you over. They don't have a sense of humor, right. And they're going to dog you out for an hour on the side of the road. So, you know, just do the speed limit and just be there, you know, and plenty of time.
Sure.
And be safe on the road.
And your name might end up in the paper.
No, well, you know, I'm doing that metaphorically. Just being joking. But, you know, it's and then hopefully you don't hit traffic, you know, some wreck on I-10. So, the miles gets on you. We put 5,000-6,000 miles on our car every year. I mean, people don't understand that. It's a part-time legislature.
Right.
We're burning up a car every 4 years.
Wow.
I hit 100,000 miles on my 2018 Chevy Cruze,
yeah.
And luckily it was still under warranty, and I got a new engine out of it because it burned up. So I kind of lucked out. I had 1,000 miles to go left on it, but, you know, it was still under warranty. But, you know, this is the kind of stuff that we're... And by the way, that's to and from Phoenix. Remember, we got to go up to Colorado City. We got to go to Paz County. We got to... And now they added...
We got to go, man.
But now they added Wickenburg into our district.
Right. Well, at least
so you know what? It's re-election time for folks. You know, I love Leo Biasucci. Re-elect Paul Gosar. I support Kerry Lake. Mark Fitcher for Secretary of State. And Rodney Glassman. I support Rodney Glassman for the Attorney General. And please send me and Leo a teammate that will stick with us in Mojave County.
All right, perfect. I couldn't remember the last song you wanted, but I could have swore it was that one, that Al Green. Was that it? I think Barack Obama sings that to his kids.
No.
Isn't that the one?
Give me a look. Love?
No, that's okay. So I picked the wrong one. But the Jackson 5's like
a staple
of Motown. They made Berry Gordy the most money. They made him a lot of money.
Yeah, whatever.
All right.
Get Michael Jackson off the radio. Man, get him off the radio.
We got to go, Sonny. All right. Yeah. Thanks for joining us, everybody.
Hey, improve your net, folks.
Hire a vet.
God bless you.
All right. We'll see you.
Vote tomorrow. Make sure you vote. Don't be a slacker.
Don't be a slacker. Be a GOP backer. All right.
Love it.
More in a moment. Stay with us. All right, I finally found the right song. Did I get it right, Sonny?
That's it. You finally got it right.
All right, perfect. Alyssa Zawisa is on the show tomorrow, the creator of Lake Havasu City App. Also, by talent from Las Vegas, they'll be on the show as well, telling you about blood drives. Hannity's up next, preceded by Fox News. Thanks, Sonny.
This is KNTR Talk, AJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM and 106.3, the voice of the free.